Thank you, Joe. There was a question asked by Job. If a man dies, shall he live again? We're told there's an afterlife. Everybody's going to make it there. It's not a question if you're saved or lost. It's a question of when it begins for each individual one of us. Everybody's going to make it to the afterlife in one of two conditions, saved or lost. That's important, isn't it? We should talk about the afterlife on occasion and remind ourselves that no matter who you are, you'll get there one day. You know, they all talk about we're going to a same place and just taking different paths to get there. Well, that's that afterlife. And I use the term afterlife, you know, it could be that if we want to be a little bit more correct, for some folks it's going to be an after death instead of an afterlife. The Christian will see an afterlife. We're told. The non-Christian, the heathen, the unsaved will no doubt see something entirely different. Scriptures talk about this afterlife. Atheists will tell you there's no such thing. When you're dead all over like Rover. It's just over with. The agnostic will tell you that, well, you can't really know if there's an afterlife or not because you can't really know if there's a God or not. So-called believers, some will say, no, no afterlife. In Acts 23, verse 8, for the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection. Now, they believed in God, they believed in Jesus, they believed in the coming Messiah, but they did not believe in the resurrection. And I believe that's maybe why they got their name. The Sadducees, that's why they're sad, you see. I just thought it might be. I'm not sure. Bible tells us, and true believers will say, yes, there's an afterlife. There's no sense in being sad, you see, because there is an afterlife for the true believer. An afterlife gives us hope. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 6 at verse 17. We'll begin there with reading a little scripture together. Hebrews letter, chapter 6, verse 17. This is one passage we talked about briefly this morning, a portion of it that says, God cannot lie. What God has inspired through his Holy Spirit men to write that we have in our translations of the Bible cannot possibly be lies, because if God, through his Holy Spirit, guided men to write these things, this passage tells us that God cannot lie. If God ever lied, he would cease to be the God of the Bible. Just would. So God cannot lie. Hebrews 6 at verse 17, thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. You know what an anchor does? Keeps the ship from floating away. Keeps it from going where you don't want it to go. This hope we have is an anchor for our soul. It keeps our soul. If you really have a hold of that hope that God has given us through his promises, you really have a hold of that hope, it keeps your soul from going where it shouldn't go. Keeps that sin from happening so frequently in the body. It keeps us from doing things we shouldn't do, because we know that if we're convicted come judgment, we have no hope of eternal life. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. It's an afterlife that gives us the hope through the promise in trials, in tribulations, in temptations. You know, this life is not easy. It's I don't know if you find it hard like I do, but sometimes it's very tough down here. Trials and tribulations, things come up at us countless times. Things come up at us on a daily basis. that we have to decide then and there how we deal with those things. If you made the decision to be a Christian to follow Christ's path through this life, then some of those decisions were already made. The day you became a Christian, there were so many things that you would no longer do purposefully, willfully. But it's the afterlife that gives us hope to continue on. There is an afterlife, the Bible tells us that. And we want to go to heaven because that's where afterlife is the utmost. But we have questions. People have asked a lot of questions about this afterlife over the ages, over the years. What about Hades? The Bible talks about Hades, the Hadean realm. It's a temporary place. If you'll look with me at Luke chapter 16, we've talked about this passage before. Luke 16, verses 19 through 26. It's the accounting of the rich man and Lazarus. We'll read it together. Luke 16, at verse 19 to start. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you receive your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf affixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from here or from there pass to us. We see this Hadean realm in something similar to what you see on the screen behind me. You have two locations in this Hadean area. Where is it? I don't have a clue. It's a spiritual existence. It's a spirit existence. You have a great gulf in betwixt the two places, the two locations, paradise and Hades, paradise and torment. Abraham is obviously in the place of comfort, according to our scripture, and the rich man not. It's a permanent dwelling place that we look to after. Now, Jesus told the rich man that today you'll be with me in paradise. You remember that? A little later in the scriptures, he tells Mary, touch me not, for I have not yet been to my Father. Now, I know that he spoke the truth when he said he was going to be in paradise with that thief that day. So we can understand that wherever paradise may be, it's not in heaven with the Father. I think that's a safe thing to say. Heaven, we know, is a permanent dwelling place. We have two locations of permanent dwelling place after this life. One of them is called hell in Matthew 25, verse 41. One's called heaven in Matthew 25, verse 34. But there's no straight trip from now for us from here to heaven or hell. There's that stopping point, provided the Lord, if the Lord doesn't come back first, you understand I do mean that. If Jesus comes back, then there's going to be judgment, we'll be done. If the Lord doesn't come back before we pass from this planet, then our first location is the Hadean realm, torment or paradise. The next location after that, scriptures tell us, is going to be judgment. Next location after that is your eternal existence, point A or point B. Jesus will come. There'll be a resurrection of all the dead. We'll be changed in the moment and twinkling of an eye, and then the judgment. So you have to go through those things, provided the Lord comes before you die. That's the scenario. If you die first, place of paradise or torment, then the judgment, then heaven or hell. I expect if you leave this life and you find yourself not with Abraham, that might be a telltale idea of where you may be spending eternity. We want heaven, don't we? Life on earth is good, but it ain't that good. Amen. Solomon said it's full of vanity, just a waste of time. Job said, man born of woman is few days and full of troubles. And boy, I think the older I get, the more I appreciate his words. Life is short. Job 14:2, he comes forth like a flower. Talks about man. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. Life is short. James told us that too. It's like a vapor. Here a little bit, gone. Hell is a place of eternal torment. I would dare think that if I gave anybody an option to say, if you were to have to leave this earth today and leave this life existence, would you choose heaven or would you choose hell? How many people do you think would choose to be in hell with the devil for eternity? I'm sure there will be a few that would just blatantly say, I want to be with the devil. You know, there are devil worshipers on this planet, so I assume that they would make that decision to spend it in the smoking section instead of non-smoking. So there's a lake of fire there. I'm not sure I'd like that. Revelation 21, verse 8, speaks of a lake of fire. Never goes out. Always burning. This place of torment spoken of. And let's go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 and verse 42. What do you say? Mark chapter 9 at verse 42. Jesus is speaking. Mark chapter 9, verse 42. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. A millstone was big, big. If you had one of those hung around your neck, there's no way that you would be able to get loose and it'd just suck you to the bottom of the sea immediately. But Jesus said, do not forbid him. Oops, I lost my place. If your hand causes you to sin, we're in 43. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands and go to hell. Into the fire that shall never be quenched. That's that lake of fire. That's a pretty serious comment, wasn't it? If your hand causes you to sin, whack it off. Just get rid of it. Another passage says, if your eye causes you to sin, cut it out. That's pretty strong language. But it's better if we do that than if we have our eternity with that lake of fire. I think I'd rather lose a hand than have to spend eternity in hell with the devil, wouldn't you? Maybe both eyes be worth that. We talked about the word eternal this morning. We don't have a true, other than the word forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, we don't have a really true grasp of eternal. Eternality never ends. It is existent forever, always. Whatever location we find ourselves in for eternity, that'll be a long time. Long time. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will reap everlasting life. Two choices, A and B. How many people on the planet, though, operate as if B is okay? They don't bother to take time to read the Bible. They don't bother to examine the data, as we say. They don't bother to take themselves all the information they can, make an intelligent decision. They make a decision that is unintelligent because they don't have all the information. Why? Because they don't know about the lake of fire. They hadn't got that part yet. They don't know about the fire that never is quenched, the worm that never ceases, the weeping and gnashing of teeth. They hadn't read those words yet and stopped to think about what that really means. How horrible a place that really is. Heaven, though, is full of abundant blessings. Beauty, Revelation. I'm not going to read all the passages in the interest of time, but Revelation chapter 21, all those verses have to do with the beauty of what heaven is. Now, it's put in physical terms that we can understand. We really can't compensate or understand what heaven really is like. It's a beautiful place, no doubt. But it says the streets are like pure gold and clear. What? We don't have clear, pure gold here. We have gold, it's a metal, and you can't see through it. That's different in heaven. So it's given to us in physical idea that we can understand, but yet it's a spiritual concept, a spirit concept, so it would be clear. Beautiful place. No tears there, Revelation 21:4. Light and life, God is the light. God gives eternal life to those that are there, Revelation 22. And there's rest. Are you ready for rest? Boy, I tell you, I'm about ready for some rest. There's not that kind of rest in this place. We can sleep. I don't care if you sleep 23 days in a row. You don't get that kind of rest that the scriptures speak of in the heavenly rest. Getting closer all the time. It gets a little more exciting all the time. Eternal life with God. You know, people who don't like to sing, why do you want to go to heaven? People who don't like to praise God, why do you want to go to heaven? Because it's a better alternative than hell. Some people have come to the Lord because they don't want to go to hell. That's the wrong reason to come to Jesus, I promise you. Because if you're not interested in changing your life and changing your heart, your baptism just not to go to hell, you went down a dry center and you came up a wet one. Nothing changed? Not good. You know, we're not converted or seemingly converted just because it's a better alternative than the other option. But there have been folks who have done that. Questions. What do people know that are already there? You know, a lot of our loved ones have gone to the Hadean world, and their bodies here in the ground, or they've been cremated, but their bodies are not what is in this Hadean realm. It's their soul. Wherever their soul is right now, what do they know? People ask that a lot. Well, can we talk to them? Some want to say, is there a consciousness there? Or are you just out? Well, go back and look at Luke 16. Let's go back and look at Luke 16 and verse 23. Spend a little time with Lazarus and the rich man again. Luke 16 down to verse 23. In verse 23, we're talking about the rich man here, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Folks, that's consciousness. If you're in the Hadean realm and you can look anywhere and see anything, that's consciousness. You're awake. You have some reality. You can look around and see what's close to you and where your surroundings are, and even the surroundings on the other side of that big gulf. So yes, there's consciousness in the Hadean realm, in paradise and in torment. What about verse 25? Question comes up, do they remember? You know, do we have any, when we get to the paradise, will we have any remembrance of, or will we get to Hades, will we have any remembrance of what took place on earth? Look at verse 25. Abraham said, son, you remember that in your lifetime you received the good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's in comfort and you're tormented. Abraham said, don't you remember? I don't think Abraham would ask the question if there wasn't the capacity or the ability to remember some level of what happened in this life. He also remembered the rich man. He also remembered he had some brothers. My brothers are back there. Tell them not to come here. Remember? So, yeah, there's a little memory. What did Abraham tell this rich man? And there was communication. Don't forget that. They were communicating back and forth. I don't know just how, but there was communication between Abraham and the rich man. At verse 29, Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. That was a response that the rich man got to say, would you send Lazarus back to tell my brothers don't come here? He said, no, they've got Moses and the prophets, let them listen to him or them. He objects, he says, yes, but no, Father Abraham, if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, Abraham says, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. If they were living in that time, didn't they know of another Lazarus who was raised from the dead? Hadn't they heard that Christ had been raised from the dead? Sure they had, because at one point, we were told in Scripture that all the known world had heard the gospel. which involves Christ being raised from the dead. Yes? There's consciousness, there's memory, and the truth is that you can't get from there to come back here. If we were in the Hadean realm and the torment side, wouldn't we want to go back and tell our family, don't come here? Do whatever it takes, but don't come here. We probably would. Likewise, if we were already gone and we were in the paradisical side, is that the right word, paradisical? I don't know. If we were in paradise with Abraham, wouldn't we want to come tell our family, do everything you can to come here, it's really nice? Sure we would. But they wouldn't listen to us any more than they listen to Moses and the prophets. You could come back 3 times a week and they still wouldn't change until the heart is ready to change. This doesn't happen. Can they see us? Another question that's often asked. Do they see what we're doing? I think that comes from a position of concerned fear. Can my mom and dad, who are already gone, can they really see what I'm doing now? I don't like that, because they probably wouldn't like what I'm doing anyway, see? Otherwise, why would you care if they could see you or not? There was a miraculous event that occurred. Look at Matthew 17, verse 1. Matthew 17, verse 1. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Now stop and think a minute. Peter, James, and John just witnessed a remarkable or miraculous event. They saw, however it was they saw, on whatever level they saw, Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And that doesn't happen very often. We don't get to see folks that are already gone, that have already deceased. Now, there are people that tell you that you can. You say, we have to say no to this. Can they see us? No, not really. Can we talk to them? Mediums will tell you that, sure, I can reach out to that dead person for you. They chant, they do these things, they burn incense or whatever they do, and they can speak to the dead. You know what God said about that? In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 31, give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them, says the Lord. Another place in the next verse, Leviticus 20, verse 6, and the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute themselves with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. That's serious business. It's like God saying, don't waste your time. It's not worth it. And we have in the New Testament as well words that tell us that we shouldn't be doing those things or even thinking about talking to the dead. Galatians 5, 19 and 20. We've talked about that before. The works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Give that contrast. Galatians 5, 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, and so on and so on. Talking to the dead is no more than sorcery or making efforts to talk to the dead. And it's not something God enjoys. It's no different than witchcraft. Yeah, the same thing. So the answer, can we talk to them? No. You know, people, again, they'll tell you that they communicate with good old Uncle Bob or whoever it was who's fishing up in the river with the Lord. No, doesn't happen. Not according to Scripture anyway. Or we shouldn't desire it to happen according to Scripture. Maybe I should put it that way. We just need to trust God. Just need to trust God. What difference does it make if good old Uncle Bob is up there fishing with Jesus? What difference does it make to me? I'm still here. If I'm not living my life, now if good old Uncle Bob is up there fishing with Jesus, I want to be there. So I need to live as good as I can while I'm here to get to go, because maybe good old Uncle Bob was a good Christian man. But he's still not in heaven yet, according to what we've decided and saw this afternoon. He's in that paradise yet. No heaven. See, the body's got to be made different. 1 Corinthians 15:35. Let's go read that. It's a wonderful passage. Paul makes an argument here. And when I say argument, I don't mean a combative type of argument. It's a logical argument. A logical argument simply presents one side of an issue, and then it presents the other side of an issue, which makes it logical in giving it. 1 Corinthians 15 at verse 35. 1 Corinthians 15:35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? Foolish one, he says, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another fish, and others of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. You see, those bodies are not the same. They have their own essence, their own glory. Next verse. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, and one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it's raised with power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural and there is a spiritual. Now, you follow the analogy. You don't plant something, you don't plant this plant. You plant a seed of this plant. And that seed needs to be dead before you plant it. And then up grows this plant. Corn, same way. Beans, same way. Whatever we plant as a dead item, our body. When we're planted, when we're buried in the earth, we're a dead body. That's all we are. But when we're raised, that corruptible body will be raised incorruptible. There's the change. Paul says we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye later on in this passage. That's for those who are still living when the Lord comes back. And I'm to understand there's still some going to be living when the Lord comes back. And we'll be changed, those who are still alive, to that immortal body, to that incorruptible body. The afterlife, I think we're better off to leave to Deuteronomy 29:29, one of my favorite passages in all the scripture, because it answers a lot of questions. You might want to highlight this one. If you were in the Bible class in the mornings where you highlighted scripture, you might want to highlight. What color is that, Joe, for this one? Be orange, okay. You can orange highlight this one. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. It's still the same. There are some things God did not tell us because he just really didn't need us to know. Afterlife is one of those things. We have some knowledge because of Luke 16, rich man and Lazarus. We have some understanding of what it might be in paradise and what it might be in the torment area of Hades. But does it really make a difference? For us right now, it really doesn't. The only difference it does make is how we behave while we're on this planet. If you want to go to paradise, you behave one way. If you don't care where you go, you behave another way. Or if you're just dead set on going to hell, you can behave any way you jolly well please. But for God's people, Hades is simply a stopping point toward eternal life with God in heaven. It's a very much more pleasing thought, isn't it? Yes, I want to go to paradise if I die before the Lord comes back. Absolutely. If that's true, then all I got to do is live according to the guidelines as best I can. Because although I'll make mistakes, Jesus gave his life a sacrifice for my mistakes and yours. It's really not that difficult to understand. It really isn't. God set it up this way. All we have to do is follow his lead. And it's right here. He gave it all information to us that we could hope to have. Pretty good God we serve, isn't it? How do we get to heaven? We set our sights on it, Colossians 3. Believe and confess, repent and be baptized. Press forward, like Paul says. I press forward to the upward call and that crown of glory. And don't look back. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday, day before, last week, last month, last year, it's all gone. Pressing forward. There's an afterlife, and we want to go to heaven. And yes, we'll have questions until we get there. And I suppose that's okay. If a man dies, shall he live again? Some say no. Some say I don't know. But the Bible and the believer says absolutely. We will live again. That's the promise. The promise of glory. If you're not a believer, then you probably are not here. Being a believer and a Christian, if your life is not as it should be in walking with the Lord, and if we can help you in any way with that, please let us know. If you're concerned about your salvation, you have questions about the afterlife or your salvation, whatever it may be, and you need some assistance in answering those questions, please let us know. We walk around here all week long and don't know what your situation is and where you are in your salvation issue, where you are with the Lord. Where's your walk? Where's your heart? Where's your Bible heart? If assistance is what you need, whatever it may be. If you're not a Christian and you need to be putting on the Lord in baptism, we're here for that too. It's your decision to make concerning the afterlife. A or B, what will it be? While we stand, while we sing.